The Lord is the one who protects. The Lord is the one who gives rest. The Lord is the one who provides room. The Lord is the answer and the satisfaction that we're longing for, especially in the most difficult moments within our lives. So sitting on our phones and scrolling, that's not gonna help.
Buckle up, friends. Today we are talking about something I know every single one of you thinks about regularly. Today we are digging into Psalm chapter 4 and talking about stress and distress. If you know your Bible, you know that many Psalms were written by King David, and this is one of those. He is no stranger to a stressful situation or a great solution. God tells us that life will be tough and we will go through challenges, but I don't know if that makes it easier when we're in the middle. Do you, Robbie?
Well, again, Shannon, today what's going to happen, and thanks for that intro too, is that we need a strategy for what you said is inevitable. I mean, to be honest, Shannon, just like in recent days, like just literally have moments of just sense the stress, like, and it's anxiety, and it does feel not great. And so, like, even like looking at Psalm 4, what we're doing today, it's just so helpful. We need a strategy for the inevitable temptation and reality of stress that we face. So let me ask you, loved ones that are listening here at Living the Light, what is your strategy? What do we do? Have we been knocked off again, our bikes, and in the ditch, and we're like, what should I do now? Well, now God's word is being brought to you today so we can be reminded of what is most essential for the times of life that happen a lot. We need to be, again, renewed of saying, who should I go to? What should I be saying? And how is the Lord asking me to live in this time? I need this today, like for real, in Jesus' name, I need this today. And I know you need this today too. So may the Lord speak to us powerfully. I do pray the Spirit of God would renew our minds, encourage our hearts, and remind us of what is most true in times of this life that is often very difficult, very strange, and often very dark. So Lord, lead us. Lead us now, we pray, according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So today's message is exactly that, a biblical strategy for dealing with stress. If you need that in your life, you can open your Bible right now to Psalm chapter 4, and we will go into that now.
If you could open your Bibles to Psalm 4, that would be a great encouragement to me, and I pray a great encouragement to you. I love to try to preach a psalm at least once a summer, and I'm taking advantage of that opportunity today here on this long weekend, considering there are 150 psalms in Scripture. Obviously, the Lord wants us to pay attention to them. Now, as we come to Psalm 4, we are not exactly sure of the context for this psalm. Some wants to couple Psalm 4 with Psalm 3. Psalm 3's context is clear in the title, is when David was fleeing Absalom. However, to say that that is the same context of Psalm 4 is unlikely. What we do know about Psalm 4 is that it is from David. It says that right there. And we also know that Psalm 4 is written in the context of David being under stress and distress. Now, right away, as we come to, again, the scriptures again together, we are encouraged because, why would we be encouraged already? Because the Bible is presenting to us real people in real life with real struggles. That's what Psalm 4 is representing. David is going through hardship. David is being opposed. David is under stress, and David is under distress as well. So we are encouraged again because the Bible doesn't give us perfect people. There's only one person who's perfect. His name is Jesus Christ. But the Bible gives us people seeking to follow Jesus who struggle, who are sinners, who are in times of stress and hardship. And this is what we find again right here in Psalm 4. Now, some of you are new to the Christian faith. Some of you are new to church. Some of you are new as you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're new to the Word of God. But the more you become acquainted with Scripture, here's one of the things you will realize is this. Scripture, again, guarantees us that life will be hard. That's important for Christ followers to understand. Scripture never promises life will be easy. In fact, I'm in one of my places, I'm in my Bible readings right now, is the Gospel of Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says in Matthew 7, he says, if you follow Jesus Christ, the way is narrow and hard. And hard. That's pretty clear. If you want to go the easy road, that's the way of the world. He says, wide is the road and easy that leads to destruction. He's like, you're going to follow the road to the kingdom of Jesus Christ? The way is narrow and hard, and those who find it are few. So again, this is a very important part of maturity. Maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ understands that life is guaranteed to be difficult at times. Let's not be surprised when it happens. Life is guaranteed to include stress at times. Life is guaranteed to include distress at times again as it comes upon us. But again, God promised us this would happen. So as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not surprised at times when the will of God includes and guarantees, again, such difficult moments. So we need to be aware of this. We need to understand this. So now the question becomes, right, for those of us who are growing in maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ, okay, life is guaranteed to be hard at times. Life is guaranteed to be tempted with stress, and we'll find ourselves in distress. So what do we do? What do we do? What do we do when those times come upon us? Do we mope? Do we mope in those times? Some of us love to mope. That's one of our strengths. Others of us, right, do we just pout? Do we just kind of just pout and look around? Do we give up? Do we just incessantly complain about life circumstances? Or do we instead develop a biblical strategy for stress and distress? Well, the answer is an emphatic yes to the latter. We are, as growing Christ followers, to understand the difficulties of life are guaranteed, and we need a biblical strategy. We do not need a worldly strategy. Man, there's so much of that, and what a bunch of garbage. We need a biblical strategy for stress and distress, and this is what David presents for us today, which, of course, is our sermon title, as you can see right there. So, a biblical strategy for stress and distress. That sounds helpful. That sounds helpful to me, and I pray that sounds helpful to you as well. So, let's do this. This is what Psalm 4 is all about. I hope you're interested. I hope you're excited. I hope you want to read God's word along with me. Psalm 4 says this. Title, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Verse 1, answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? Selah means pause. But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Amen. Verse 4, be angry and do not sin. Interesting. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Selah. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. What a beautiful prayer that is. In verse 7, one of my favorite in all the Psalms, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. Why? For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and this is now teaching us a biblical strategy for stress and distress. The context of David, we don't know it all. The context of David and what kind of stress and distress is he under? People are attacking him. There's lies against him. People are slandering him. His reputation is being a kind of trashed and brought through the mud here. There's likely added layers to this distress. But David, in the midst of this situation, what does he do, right? What does he do? What do we learn from David? Four main things of a biblical strategy for stress and distress here today from the life of David. Again, from the words of David. Strategy number one is this. Call to the only true source of relief. We must call, seek, pray to the only true source of relief. Look at verse 1 again. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. So much to learn here from David in verse 1. And listen, so much to learn about God here in verse 1 as well. And by the way, when you're reading scripture again, people new to the Christian faith, all that kind of stuff, so glad. It's awesome. It's amazing how God is working again in our midst. When you're approaching scripture, one of the key questions you want to ask with any scripture in is this as a starting point: what do I learn about God here? In this verse, in this paragraph, in this text, what do I learn about God? Good questions to ask that help you to look for things you may not, again, search for as a first kind of instinct. So let's just do that now together. What do we learn about God in verse 1? As we look at verse 1, what do we learn about God? Well, there's several things we learn about God. We learn that God is the God of our righteousness. We learn that God is the only one who can give true source of relief in our lives. We also learn from verse 1 that God is the source of grace. So that sounds like a big deal. God is the God of my righteousness. He's the one who gives relief, and God is the God of grace. He is the source of grace. So no wonder then David in verse 1, he cries to the Lord, he calls to the Lord, he prays to the Lord, because the Lord is the only one who can be righteousness and relief and the source of his grace. Now, again, loved ones, right here, brothers and sisters, I want you to see this. Notice the potential of good theology. See, what do you mean? Verse 1 has some really good theology in it. The potential of good theology is that it can lead to good practice. That's one thing we have to understand. We want to know good theology because good theology, when it's properly understood, will lead to good practice here. David understands the God he belongs to. This informs the practice and the direction of God's life. It's amazing. I'm reading a preaching book as recently as yesterday, and one of the lines said this: people can say they believe something, but unless they practice it, they prove they don't believe it. That's a huge problem in the church today. Oh, I believe, but I live an entirely different way. Well, obviously you don't believe it, because if you believed it, you live it. David believes and lives. Just by way of contrast and comparison, notice what David doesn't do in his stress and distress. David doesn't turn to Tony Robbins, right? He doesn't. David doesn't turn to overspending in the midst of stress and distress. David doesn't turn to eating more chocolate. Right? He doesn't do that. What does he do? He turns to the actual source of righteousness, the actual source of rest and relief, the actual source, again, of grace. His theology leads to practice. We prove what we believe by what we do, where we turn. I'm fascinated by the word relief in verse 1. See the word relief there? Literally, it means to give room. God is the one who makes room in my life in terms of my stress or distress. David's stress made him feel closed in. That's what stress does, doesn't it? Stress makes us feel constrained. Literally, stress in our lives can cause us to feel emotionally claustrophobic. So many people, the stress starts to close in. I know, you know too. And all of a sudden you feel closed in and you feel so tight and your breathing gets tight and we start to panic and we start to kind of wonder what's happening right now. And we can again find ourselves in a place that's very, very difficult. David understands the Lord alone is the source that makes room for him to breathe physically and spiritually and emotionally. So this is so helpful right now because our temptation, right? The temptation we have within stress and distress is what? Our temptation under stress is to seize control. So many of us, or all of us. We want to seize control. We want a human solution to be, again, the response in terms of a situation that we find ourselves losing control. We double down on our technique, our solution, our effort, and our strength. And all that does is multiply the stress as well. This is when we start to breathe quickly. This is when stress starts to rise. This is when we start to panic in our circumstances. David doesn't do that here. David knows where he needs to go, and David knows whom he needs to go to, okay? Notice we're learning here from David too. Listen, social media is not a refuge. It's not. God is our refuge. I want you to hear that. Social media is one example among many. Social media is not a refuge. Social media is not hiding in the shadow of the Almighty. it often does the exact opposite. God is the refuge. God is the one that we hide in. God is our shelter. God is our stronghold. It's God. It's the Lord. The Lord is the one who protects. The Lord is the one who gives rest. The Lord is the one who provides room. The Lord is the answer and the satisfaction that we're longing for, especially in the most difficult moments within our lives. So sitting on our phones and scrolling, that's not going to help. The infinite scroll, that's not going to help. God is the one who ultimately helps. But again, we prove what we believe by what we do. So I love David's boldness here. Again, verse 1, look at the first thing he says. He says, answer me when I call, O Lord. Answer me when I call. He says, hear my prayer. Man, I love David here. I love the boldness. And we know this from Hebrews 4:16, the New Testament, because Jesus provided the way and the access to God. We are now with confidence to approach the throne of grace to find mercy and help in our time of need. Jesus made the way. So we with confidence can approach the throne. God wants us to come boldly to the throne of grace. He says, answer me when I call, O Lord. When's the last time you prayed like that to God? He wants you to. Father, I think it's reverently, but it's boldly. Father, answer me. Too many Christians, they pray to their father like he's not their father. They pray to God like he's some distant God who doesn't care. Like he's over there somewhere and just casually taking a note or two. Men especially, of course, women as well. I just encourage you, approach your God, your father, like a child needing help from the father. Answer me, Father. Answer me, Lord. Hear me. I call to, he wants us to pray like that. So different than just sitting there and just saying, oh God, I would just, Father, I need you to hear me. Very different prayer. Hear my prayer. He wants us to pray like that. That'll change your life if you do it. When we're in distress and distress, do you think he doesn't want his children to come to him and knock? Reading Matthew 7, ask, seek, knock. That's Jesus teaching us to aggressively and increasingly, again, go to the Lord and depend upon him. Even as I say that, I need to do that more within my own life. And why? I think of how much stress and anxiety is ruling our day. I mean, as much as ever in this nation, the stats are in. We are living in a perpetual mental health crisis right now. The significant rise of antidepressants, it's not a statement on that. It's just a statement what is. The overall stress and anxiety is increasing dramatically all around us. Our young people have never been plagued with such stress and anxiety. And I just want to be like transparent for you right now too. Like there are times in my life where either I'm going just through, I'm not expecting, but I have a irrational, or sometimes maybe I can make something, but a wave of anxiety and stress floods my life and soul and heart. Like going along, all of a sudden this wave of stress and anxiety flood my life and heart, completely takes over my mind, and I'm like, what the heck is this? See, in that moment, I have to decide what I believe. In that moment, like right then and there, I have to decide what is the answer to the stress and anxiety that's overwhelming my life right now at this time, taking over my mind and tempting me again to rely on things that aren't the Lord. I have to decide what I believe. Do I believe in the Lord? Do I believe in myself? Do I believe in the world? And you're the same. And you're the same. In that moment, we will decide again what we believe. And this is where verse 1 is everything. Verse 1, David turning, God of my righteousness, the one who makes room and gives relief, the one who hears my prayer, the source of my grace. I seek the Lord, I call to the Lord, I pray to the Lord, I cry to the Lord, because again, only the Lord can be the refuge and the answer that I, so simple and yet so often missed. I want you to notice the contextual insight of this psalm too. Look at the title of the psalm. It says, to the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. So what is Psalm 4? Ultimately, it's a song. David's so good at this. David knows one of the greatest weapons against stress and distress and anxiety is musical worship. It's musical worship rooted in the word of God. The power of musical worship as you seek the Lord. And longing for this to take over and longing for this again to be something that ministers to your life and heart. I hope you know this. I hope you're using this. I mean, this is what secular music cannot do. This is what Beyonce cannot do. This is what Taylor Swift cannot do, praise God. They can't do it. They can't shake it off, shake it off, shake it off. It doesn't work. It's rooted in nothing. But you have songs rooted in the very word of God, and it's so powerful because it's filled with the Spirit of God and the eternal truths, again, rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm out walking early morning. Love to get up early. Out walking in our neighborhood early in the morning, listening to worship music. And one of my favorite worship playlists, and I hit random, and a song comes on I haven't heard in a while. It's an incredible song of sovereignty of God in the midst of trials and stress and difficulty. And the theology was written a couple hundred years ago in a modern version, powerfully. You're walking on the street and your mind is filled in musical worship, reminded of the truth of God. And what happens, like, tears just fill your eyes. Like, you're sensing the presence of God. You're reminded of his control and sovereignty and goodness. You're reminded what you see, but the things you cannot see. You're reminded that he's in charge. You're reminded he is good. You're reminded of his faithfulness. You're reminded that he cares for you. You're reminded that one day it all makes sense. And you're reminded, wow, I'm in good hands. And you're walking down the sidewalk and tears filling your eyes, and joggers are jogging by saying, what's up with that guy? That guy's good. Well, that guy is, he's good. You don't know it. Looks like he's depressed. He's good. He's good because the Lord is near. What a strategy for stress and distress. This is what David knows. And this is what we need to do. Less of the world, more of Jesus. Amen. Less of the world, more dependence and simplicity and beauty. Again, that we will call on the only true source of relief. Strategy number one, strategy number two. Comprehend that God cares for his own. In the midst of stress and distress, we must comprehend that God, I just alluded to it, God cares for his own. Look at verse 2. David says, O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? And then he says, verse 3, so good, but know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Again, we don't know the exact identity of David's attackers, but we do know their strategy. They have lies against him. They are seeking to slander him. They're trying to destroy his reputation. It's interesting, one of the main strategies of attackers against Jesus was shame. That's one of the main strategies against Jesus, by the way, shame. That's one of the main strategies of evil and people who oppose Christians and us today, Christ followers, is shame. Shame and lies and slander. In verse 2, the second half, David says, how long will you love, notice, vain words and seek after lies? What's he doing there? That's a description of worthless worship to false gods. He's like, how long will you do this, people? How long will you continue to follow after vain words, false gods? How long will you continue to seek after lies, the empty prayers of false gods who will never, ever deliver? He's like, how long will you do this? Personally, I'm very sensitive to the spiritual world. Very sensitive to the reality of the world we're living, constantly aware, false gods, the lies of our world, the things of society. Like, I just see it all the time. Maybe you do too. And it's interesting when that happens and you're constantly sensitive to spiritual things of the world. You're like, lie, that's a lie. That's not true. That's empty. That's a pathway to destruction and hell. That's not going to, you're just aware of this, and you're walking around in society and life, and you often feel like, I don't fit. I don't agree with that. I'm nowhere near that. I think that's an absolute disaster. And you feel like you don't fit. Why? Because you don't. As the New Testament tells us, in Christ, we are strangers, exiles, aliens, sojourners on this life. We're not supposed to fit in. We're supposed to be different. And often when you don't fit in, then often the world will look and they will mock. And we've all maybe gone through a version of that in one way or another, and we'll continue to, which is actually a really, really good sign in one way or another. We relate here with David and saying, again, he's looking around and saying, how long will you follow such things? So what do we do then in these moments? We do what David does. When the stress and distress that comes upon us and creeps down again upon us, look at verse 3. This is what David does. He renews his mind with what is true. He says, but the Lord knows, or the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. So people attack, people mock, people come, they try to oppose and oppress, but the Lord hears when I call to him. He's saying, the Lord has me, I am his. What a strategy for stress and distress to remind yourselves of the reality of the gospel. That's what he's doing. Let's just put a slide up here so we could do the same thing for us right now. This is what we need to do in times of stress and distress and really every day of our lives, to remind ourselves who we are. So in Christ, a very important leading phrase. This isn't for everyone here right now. At least this isn't describing everyone in here right now, overflow, or I'm not sure exactly who's here today. This is for those who are saved in Jesus Christ, sins eternally forgiven. You have confessed your sins. You have repented. You have placed your faith in Jesus Christ and the shed blood for the forgiveness of your sins and his being raised from the dead, that he defeated death. You belong to him now. You will never die. This is for those in Christ. You are a child of God. You are forgiven. You are not saved by works. You are saved by grace through faith. So in Christ, what? We learned this. We heard this already today. Life is hard and trials are certain. In Christ. Really, really good to say these things out loud. Guaranteed, life is hard and trials are certain in Christ. It's important to say that, eh? Because you need to show people exactly the path and the reality. It's lost, we can get into that maybe for another time too, in Christ. But secondly, notice you are adopted into God's family. If you are truly in Christ, then you are a child of God. You will never not be a child of God. You are a child of God. You are in God's family, and Jesus says in John 6, I will never lose one that the Father has given me. You will never, ever, ever, ever be cast out. You are saved in Jesus Christ. You are forever saved in Jesus Christ. This is all because of what Christ did. In Christ, nothing will ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing ever, 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 ever. And all God's people said, amen and ever. They said ever too. We'll never, ever be separated from God's love. And in Christ, then your true home awaits. Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, and then I will return again, and I will show you again the place that I have prepared. Wow, it's going to be so awesome. And Philippians 3 talks about that our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, our citizenship in heaven, we await the glory that is coming, where our lowly bodies will be transformed to our glorious bodies, these bodies of sin that are affected by aging. We will receive a glorified, perfect resurrection body again. Jesus Christ, all in favor, amen, amen, amen. How awesome that's going to be. That's going to be so good. So in Christ, we are reminded of this reality. And by the way, what we just did right here, right now, this is an anti-stress exercise. You're welcome. Okay, like this is, we are being reminded of what is most true in our lives if we are truly saved in Jesus Christ. What happens here? Christ is becoming bigger, problems of life becoming smaller. That's one of the keys. That's one of the strategies for combating stress and distress. We can't let life, sin, world get big. Christ is big, and then all of a sudden life and problems get smaller. Not that they're not real. They just become smaller. Why? Because God cares for his own. Because this I know, God is for me. Well, you're like, is that a verse, Robbie? It is actually Psalm 56. Let's go there, right? Psalm 56, an amazing, the psalmist says this. Who's this for today? You have kept count of my tossings. Isn't that beautiful? You have kept count of my tossings. So I was tossing in bed a lot last night, but here's why. It's because neighbors two doors down decided to put fireworks like super loud at midnight, 11:30 midnight. It's the closest I've ever gone to calling the cops. I'm just like, this is ridiculous. I'm just sleeping, bang, just like that. And just all there, what are they doing? Like setting the whole neighborhood on fire. Anyways, that was annoying. All right, so tossings last night. Put my tears in your bottle. Who's that for? You're like, does God see? Oh, he sees. Does God care? Oh, he cares. He's storing your tears in a bottle. He's counting the tossings. Are they not in your book? He's writing them down.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We are so glad you're here. And without you, Living the Light wouldn't exist. Our passion and mission here is to see radical transformation in God's people through the revelation of God's truth. We believe that through the faithful and passionate preaching of God's word, disciples will be made and the church will be strengthened. Do you want to be a part of that mission? If so, check out our website at liveinthelight.ca for ways to give or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light.